Today is Wednesday, March the 6th. This is the Women's Chumash here. We're in the beginning of Parshat Vayera, Bereshit Perek Yutchet, Pasuk Gimel. Okay, Rabotai. We have spent a considerable amount of time on Psukim Aleph and Bet, and we continue today with Pasuk Gimel, in which there is a most interesting comment of Rashi, and or many others quote it. I'm going to show you a very critical Rambam in order to appreciate Rashi's remarks. So the Torah writes, the three people or angels are standing right outside the tent. Avraham runs to them, and now he speaks. Vayomar, and he says, Pasuk Gimel, Adonai, Imna matzati chen be'einecha. I'm not translating the word Adonai yet. It could refer to God, or could refer to the people, my masters. If I have found favor in your eyes, al na sa'avar me'al avdecha. I petition you not to leave, but to join me, come inside. So I'd like to focus first on this idea about what or to whom the word Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud is referring to. So take a look at Rashi. And Rashi says, Va'onkelus, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Correct. So that'll be a different interpretation of Rashi, but I'm going to show you a very serious consequence, and it's not only here; it happens many times in the Chumash. So Rashi says, "La gadol shebehem omar." Rashi believes that, and that is the simple pshat, that Adonai is not referring to God. It's referring to whom? To the most senior of the three people. Nonetheless, Vikaram Kulam Adonim. Abraham did not say Adoni, but Adonai, which is a plural form. And Uligadol Shebahem Amar Alna Ta'avor. He speaks to all of them in an honorable fashion, identifies them all as lords. However, he makes the request to one of them, to the one who he identified as the most significant, V'kevan shelo ya'avar hu, if he will not decide to leave, ya'amdu chaverav imo. So then, his little friends will remain as well. Ubilashon ze huchol. If this is the correct, the word Adonai is not imbued with any sanctity. It's just a regular word in the Hebrew language. Regular word in the Hebrew language. That's the simple pshat. Then Rashi is never happy with the simple pshat. He has to get his drashin, davar acher, kodeshu. The word aleph, dalet, nun, yud is sanctified. It belongs and it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The haya omer l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'hamtin lo. He was speaking to God, telling him, Rabbeinu Shalom, you came for a visit. Please don't abandon me yet. But I have some work to attend to. Ad shiarutz v'yachnis et ha'orchim. Until I bring the guests in. So you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please do not leave now. Stay for a while. In which case, this word is kodesh. So, this is a critical debate. And if you'll take the packet for a moment and go to page 4, And then I'll give you 10 other illustrations of this. This is Rambam in Hilchot Tfilin Mezuzah V'Sefer Torah. The Rambam's giving the laws of how to, about the mitzvah of writing tefillin, writing a mezuzah, writing a Sefer Torah, and other mitzvot that are related to them. So the Rambam writes, HaKotev Sefer Torah O Tfilin O Mezuzah. If anybody's writing any of the holy texts, U'Bishat Ketiva Lo Hayeta Lo Kavana, and as he's writing it, he does not have a specific mental awareness. V'katav azkara min ha'azkarot shebahen. And he wrote, azkara means a name of God. He wrote any of the names of God, shelo lishman, without having specific kavana, to be mikadesh the shame. That's what lishma means. To do it specifically to sanctify the name of God, psulin. The Sefer Torah is pasul, the tefillin are psulin, and the mezuzah is pasul. Lefikach, hakotev et hashem, if somebody is writing the name of God, any of the names of God, and there are seven names of God, which you have to be mikadesh. Afilu melech Yisrael shoel bishlomo. Even if a king of Israel is now walking into your laboratory and he says shalom aleichem to you, lo yeshivenu, you should not respond to him. Haya kotev shnayim o shlasha shemot. If he writes a sequence where they have two or three consecutive names of God, hareze mafsik beinehem umeshiv. So you can stop after you are finished the first name of God, and then say shalom aleichem to the king, and then continue to sanctify the next name of God. So if this word here, we have a debate, and every sofer is now challenged, what should he do when he writes a Sefer Torah, and he's up to Bereshit Perek Yudchet Pasuk Gimel, when he comes to the word Adonai. So if Rashi is right in the first case, he just writes it like every other word in the Torah text. But he doesn't have mind to necessarily sanctify it as a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If Rashi's second interpretation is correct, then he has to sanctify it, and if he does not, the whole Sefer Torah is pasul. The whole Sefer Torah, the tefillin are psulin. So by a Sefer Torah, at least there's a way to correct it. You can, if it's not really God's name, if you wrote it because you think it's not God's name, so then you can erase it and then fill it in once again and have in mind to be mekadesh. Tefillin and a mezuzah, you can't do that because they have to be written in order, kisidran. So if you wrote the entire tefillin or the entire mezuzah and there is any mistake whatsoever, unfortunately you take that little cloth and you have to bury it. But it cannot be used to put it in your mezuzah or to put it into the tefillin. So thank God that's not the halacha by a Sefer Torah, because any time there's a mistake, you know, and there happens a lot of times a mistake, the whole Sefer Torah would have to be buried. It's crazy. But there isn't such a halacha. So here you have to look in the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, how do they handle, do they accept Rashi's first interpretation or Rashi's second interpretation? So I'm just telling you, the Rambam takes Rashi's second interpretation and believes that this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, and therefore the Sofer has to be Mekadesh. And I'll just one second. I'll give you illustrations of other names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the same decision has to be made. If you go to Sefer Shmot for a second, go to Shmot chapter 22. I think it's about the beginning of Elohim lo sikalel. I'll tell you in a second. I'll call that. What parak? Yeah. Shmot chapter 22, verse 27. Elohim lo tikalel. Does that mean you're now allowed to curse God? Or does he now allowed to curse a judge? Because the word Elohim is used frequently, particularly in Parshat Mishpatim, to refer to a judge. Go back to chapter 21 for a second. 21 verse 6. 21 verse 6. This is talking about a slave who after his 6-year term decides, I want to stay with my master. So the Torah says, V'higisho Adonav el ho-Elohim. The master should bring the slave to Beit Din. So when the Sofer writes the word Elohim, he is not having in mind to sanctify it as one of God's names, even though it is God's name. But this, in this context, it does not mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there is the same principle as when you are supposed to sanctify it, and you did not, the Sefer Torah's puzzle, but the exact same is true as the reverse. When you are not supposed to sanctify it, and you did sanctify it, Sefer Torah is also puzzle. Also puzzle. So it makes a very big difference. The Sofer has to know what the word, the context of the word, and how to... Now, in this case of V'higisho Adonov El Elohim, nobody believes that that word belongs in the realm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nobody. So if a Sofer sanctifies it, he's just an Amoritz. But when it comes to Elohim Lo Sikalel, it is a possibility, because you're not allowed to curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that some will interpret that as referring to God. And others will say, the context of the Pasuk seems to indicate that it's not referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at that Pasuk and tell me how I know it's not talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The context of that Pasuk, because what's the next phrase? V'nasi be'amcha lo ta'or. Don't curse a nasi. Now, why would I mention a nasi in the same pasuk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I can understand why I mention a nasi, the head of the Sanhedrin, if I'm talking about cursing a judge. The word el is occasionally used as a reference to pagan gods. Pagan gods. Look at again in Shmot, it's Perek. Yeah, Pasuk, it's Perek Lamed Dalid, Pasuk Tetvav. This is after the Chet HaEgel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cautions us not to make any peace treaties with the nations who reside currently in Israel, Pentichrot Berit Leoshev Haaretz, Vizanu Acharei Elohehem. The Torah has no other way to refer to gods of Avodah Zarah other than calling them gods. That's exactly what the Torah is doing. They're gods, but it's not sanctified. Refers to idolatrous gods. But that's the only way the Torah knows how to talk to us about gods, is by using the word God for an idolatrous situation. So there are names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu which have to be sanctified. And it's only the formal names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, Yud Hei Vav Hei, Elohim, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Tzivaot is a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But his characteristics by which we identify HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's a Rachum and a Chanun and an Erech Apayim. Those are not names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but are attributes. They are not sanctified by the Sofer, even though it is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here, Rashi tells us, there are two possibilities. The simple pshat is that Avraham is talking to the three people who are standing in front of him, even the three angels, and he's speaking to, and he honors them by calling them masters, in which case, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud Adonai is not sanctified. It's not referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Megrish says that Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi cites that, and then in which case, it has to be sanctified. In its absence, the entire Sefer Torah is possible. Yes?
The grammar is very ambiguous because it says be'enecha, meaning one, as opposed to e'nechem. But on the other hand, whenever we...
That's why Rashi said he's talking to one of them.
Right, but otherwise, when we have reference to Adonai or Elohim, we then use the singular pronoun. In general, this is what we find. It's very...
Yes.
If both of these are plural nouns, Adonai and Elohim, why is God addressed as a singular?
That's a very good question.
So
I've told you many times, don't ask me grammar questions. Because I'm the biggest Amoritz when it comes to grammar. Because I didn't learn any grammar. Didn't learn Hebrew.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there a Sofer school? I mean, do they go to school to learn?
Of course.
Apprentice. Do they teach them when to?
Yes. They take the tradition. So the Rambam has a list of every time that the word of the name of God has to be sanctified, and when the words of God do not, the name of God does not have, so they will teach them. There might be a debate. There's a section in Shulchan Aruch. There is Hilchot Sefer Torah, and so that's that's the guiding book, not the Rambam, but the Shulchan Aruch, the code of Jewish law, who usually follows the Rambam, but not always. Usually follows the Rambam.
How do you know which Sofer to use?
It's like everything else. You get a reputation. That's all. It's a reputation. You know, how did Rav Moshe Feinstein became the big posek? He didn't come up with a big. Ich bin der größte Paisa. I'm the biggest Paisa. People went to him because they respected him, his scholarship and his courage in handling every single question. That's all. So a good cipher has a reputation. His writing is neat, right? It's crystal clear. It's done properly. He doesn't overcharge you. That's how you develop a reputation. Yeah? Yes? That's of course. Everybody makes that point of view, saying, why is he offering them food? So, because we have to read the text simply from the pshat point of view. From the pshat point of view, these are not angels. They're three people. Wayfarers. And it's telling us how significant the mitzvah pachnasat orchim is. That he leaves the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go speak to three people who might have been Arabs. And Rashi will make that point in a second. Everything else is just a medrash. So,
We always teach kids with the Medrash. Kids will tell, of course they're three angels. Simple pshat is they're not angels. They're three people. So, because if it was angels, it would say malachim.
No,
angels.
Well, the Torah doesn't always speak so directly.
I know. Yeah. But if you wanted the simple pshat,
then
it would be hinei anochi sholeach malach lefanecha. We just read it 2 weeks ago. Yeah. God gets angry. He says, I'm leaving. I'm going to send an angel to escort you in the desert. Good. That's what Rashi says. Yeah. But then Rashi continues. Rashi continues with the problem that he has. Where did Rashi say these people were? Initially, where were these three guys standing? Who remembers from last week? It wasn't so long ago. Last week. Where were they standing? Right, that was one Rosh Kampa Rashi. But where were they standing? At some distance from what?
To see if it was well enough to.
Good, exactly. Good. Now, so now, in light of Rashi's comment, that Vayom in his second comment, that Adonai refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what is he telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is he telling? Please, Rabbi Nisha, wait. Why? Because I have to go and attend to these guests. So tell me what phrase in Pasuk Bet is, don't look in the Rashi. What phrase in Pasuk Bet is Rashi going to react in light of what I just said as the second interpretation? Rashi gave a sequence of what he's saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now look at Pasuk Bet, and in light of that comment that Rashi just made, what question will Rashi ask on himself?
He had already run there.
He already went there. It says, Vayaratz Likratam. So what do you mean now he's telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please don't abandon me because I have to go to invite them into my house. What do you mean have to go? The Pasuk already said, Vayaratz Likratam. He ran after them. So if he ran after them, he didn't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to wait. So what's going on here? So take a look at what Rashi's going to say. And he bowed down. What? To the three people. He bowed down to the three people. That's the simple pshat. So now let's continue to Rashi. Va'af al pi shekatuv acher. Vayoratz likratam. Even though this phrase appears in the text after already documents that he ran, ho amira kodem lachein haita. This pasuk took place before pasuk bet, or this phrase took place before pasuk bet. And Rashi says, he quotes one of the places where Rashi made such a comment. So what would you now say? What famous, you're going to fall to my trap. That's exactly what I want. What do we call this? Good. And of course, this is not. Everybody's tempted to say, Ein mukdam u'me'uchar batorah. That there is no order to the chronology of events, no chronology to the events of the narrative of the Torah. So everybody says that's impossible within a span of two psukim. When something takes place, it's another episode, and it's described out of sequence. Okay, a mukum mukabatom. But now we're going to say pasuk bet and pasuk gimel were recited by a Kodesh Baruch Hu in reverse order? No, that makes very little sense. Very little sense. And hence, there is another phrase, which Rashi should have used here, and it's called Mikra Misuras. In Yiddish, that's a great pasuk. Which means that a pasuk is in inverted order. That which is, and again, I can't explain why such a phenomenon exists, but it happens where it's Mikra Misuras. The order of the phrases are out of order. I can't explain why. And I can't explain why it's here either. But assuming that you would accept, it's only difficult if it's the second interpretation that this is what? That this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it's the first interpretation, then it's perfect. He ran to them, and as he approaches them, what does he tell them? My masters, please don't leave. It's very simple. Very simple. So here, the simple pshat, as it usually is simple, and doesn't require any addition. However, if you adopt the Medrash, so Rashi says, this is like Mikra Misuras, out of order. Take a look at page number 1. And we'll see a couple of remarks. We'll start on the bottom of the page with the Chizkuni. A couple lines from the bottom. Vayomar Adonai Be'alef Dalad. What do you think exactly? I'm asking that question. What is Sfarno, or Chizkuni rather, trying to tell me Be'alef Dalad? I don't need Chizkuni to tell me Be'alef Dalad. Why? Because that's the way it's written in the text. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is true. What is Chizkuni now telling me? What is Chizkuni now telling me? What do you think he's trying to say? Again, he's not saying anything that anybody who can read the text, it says Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So he's telling me it's Aleph Dalet Nun Yud? So think about all of the other times that we have referred to God in His dialogue with Abraham. What names of God have been used? At the beginning of the parsha, Pasuk Aleph, what does it say? Vayera Elav Hashem, Elon Eimamre. Just so happens, the way we sound Yud Kei Vav Kei is like Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. That's how we sound it. It's not because we use we do not use what's called the Shem HaMiforash. The designated name of God is written Yud Kei Vav Kei, but not sounded that way. It's sounded with a word that contains, according to some, 42 letters, and others 72 letters. And in the Beit HaMikdash, that's how the Kohanim used HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. So if you were in the Beit HaMikdash and you were there for Birkat Kohanim, Yivarechecha Hashem, they did not say Yivarechecha Adonai V'yishmerech. They used the Shem HaMeforash. Certainly the Kohen Gadol when he went to the Kodesh HaKadosh on Yom Kippur always used it. Outside of the Mikdash, we never use the Shem HaMeforash, but the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that appears in the last couple of sequences and dialogues between Abraham and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was never with what? Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. It was Hashem and occasionally Elohim. So what do you think Chizkuni is now telling me, oh, it's Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. That it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, exactly. It's not. Why did the Torah use the word Aleph Dalet Nun Yud to indicate that this is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Even though, it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he's telling you. Because there is a temptation to say that it could be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I'm telling you no. The fact that it does not say Vayomar, Hashem, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, but rather switches Aleph Dal and Yud is an indication that I believe the simple pshat is it's not a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's point number one, which Chizkuni is sharing with me. And number two, Al Nosavra Mi'alav Decha Perush Rashi Ligadol Shebekulan Amar. His dialogue was only, not to all three of them, but only one of them. Asks Chizkuni, Umeheichan hikir hagadol? How did Rashi know, or how did Avraham know, which one was the leader of the pack? How does he know? Answers Chizkuni, Ra'a otan mehalchin baderech. He saw as they were approaching him and the manner in which they walked. Harav Ushnei Talmidav. It looked like a teacher and his two students. And the halacha is Harav Be'emtza, the Rebbe is in the middle. Gadol, the biggest student, is on his right, Miyim you know. Vikatan Mismolo. What? In the Gemara. The Gemara in Brachos writes that rule that when you walk and you're accompanied, so there are two assumptions. A Rebbe never travels alone, always has two people accompanying him, and the formation is done this way. So Avram thinks that these three Arabs are working in the same formation as the Gemara would demand with a Rebbe. A little stretched. That's how he knew, so he addressed his remark to the guy standing in the middle.
It can also be even if you're someone walking in the desert, you know, the person in the middle is the most protected. So
good. Yes. Yes. However, he agrees, even though he's dead set on translating this sequence of Pshat, not Pimidrash, he acknowledges Vizehu, I'm now on page 2, Vizehu Shishanu Rabuseinu. What I just told you is a rabbinic remark in the Gemara. It's found in Yuma, it's found in Brachos. V'chein matzinu b'shlosha malachim shabau eitzel Avram. Michael be'emtza, Gavriel mimino, Urufael mismolo. Miss Malone, does anybody have anything that does this remind you of anything? When? Mincha Yom Kippur. Michael, the Gabriel, Miss Malone. On Yom Kippur, it's one of the piyutim that we recite right before Kedusha of Chazaras Hashatz of Mincha on Yom HaKippurim. Fine. Very nice.
In Shema, we say,
oh, right, and the Emsa is the Shechina, because there are only two there. So, that's not three. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Emsa. So there would be the same thing. Michal is Miyamin, and Gabriel is Mishmol. Yes. Yes. So, fine. Very nice. We already discussed that last week before you walked in. See, don't think I don't catch everything? It meant that he understood. The first time as he saw, then he understood what's happening, unfolding. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. That's what he says. Then go back to page 1 for a second.
And Sfarno adds something very interesting. On the phrase, Al no ta'avor me'al adecha, I don't want you to leave me. Ata harosh bishlichut, you, the head of this little party, three people, please, Al no timaher la'avor, kiminhag kol shiluach, hamimaher lahashiv sholcho davar. What does that mean?
Don't rush back to report on your...
Correct. There is a discussion in the Gemara that when you send an agent, does the sender have any indication that the agent actually did what he was supposed to do?
Not until he comes.
Now he does not. When will he know definitively? Only when the agent comes back and tells him. So this has enormous halachic ramifications. Enormous. For example, that's the case. That's where it has enormous ramifications. You send a get with an agent. If the agent does not arrive at the wife's house and deposit the get with her, she's still married. You're still married. She's still married. Same thing, you can have a woman who designates an agent to receive a get, which is worse than sending the get by him. And a woman who designates an agent to receive the get. She is divorced the minute the agent picks up the document. She doesn't have to bring it back. But how do I know that the shliach, the agent, got to the husband and that he put the get into her? So technically, the only way is to come back. And therefore, the Gemara encourages the shliach to come back as quickly as possible. There is a discussion in the Gemara whether or not there is a chazakah. Chazakah, shliach, oseh shlichoso. That there is a pattern of behavior. That most agents, when they are assigned a task, they do exactly what they're supposed to do. So the question is, can you rely on a chazak in a case with, you're dealing with a married woman, can she remarry? It's a major question. But the Gemara always says, so Avram is playing on that. I know what agents are supposed to do. What are they supposed to do? Their mission is discharged, and they're supposed to now go back to report to the person who sent them, mission fulfilled. So I'm asking you, Yutzachnish, don't rush, don't run back. I'm asking you to stay with me a little longer. That's what's happening, says the Sfarno. It's a request recognizing Avraham did that these particular people are going to try to get back as quickly as possible to whoever sent them. If they're angels, they have to go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, that's what he adds. Point number three. Take a look at the Ramban on the top of page 1. And I'm going to ask you to think about what Ramban will say about this issue. Adonai, imna matzasi chen beinecha. Matsinu oso bisfarim kamutz. I have seen the word Adonai, which could be written, could be read in how many different ways?
Adoni.
What else? With a pata. Adonai. Good. But I've seen in books which instruct you to read it with what? With the comments. Vihine, vihine. So he didn't tell us what the significance of this is. What's the significance of this? So if you look underneath the Ramban, there are some notes which are by the editor of this Mikras Gedolos volume. And on the number 42,
he cites Rabbeinu Bachya to tell us what exactly is the difference whether it's a komatz or a patach. Because the Ramban just says, I found a book that tells me to read a komatz. Okay. Why can't it be with a patach?
You wouldn't know that in a Sefer Torah. You wouldn't know.
In a Sefer Torah, you don't know,
no,
of course.
How would you know whether it's written that patach?
Good, so that's tradition. Uh-huh. That is tradition. That's what we call yesh ein lemikra. There are many words in the Torah which we are written one way, and not only like this, but it's written completely differently, and we are told to read it completely differently. There are several words in the Torah.
Would it be different if it's Hashem or if it's...
No, so far not. No. So if you look at that note number 42, Yuvan al-pi mashikotav Rabbeinu Bachya. Hapatach nismach le'olam lema shela acharav velo hakamatz ki hu omeid bifnei atzma. The patach, says Bachya, means that Adonai is describing master of something. So it's nismach. You will never find the word aleph dalet nun yud read with a patach standing independently. Never. However, the komatz is an indication, as it always is, that it's what? There's an end of a phrase here. The word, what's the name of the country which we were enslaved in for 210 years?
It's Mitzrayim.
But whenever there is a etnachta, the trop of etnachta, or sof pasuk, how do we read the word? Mitzrayim. Always. The komatz indicates, stop right here. So the word aleph, dalet, nun, yud, with a komatz, says Bachya, means it's not necessarily connected to that which follows it. That which follows it. So now that's what he's saying. Ki hama'ale umitam ze benikud ze hashem lo timtza patach elokamatz. And for this reason, it's not written as a patach, but rather what? As a komatz. Because when you're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing is ever attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you're dealing with a human, so you can make a statement in the patach form that he is a lord, a minister of something. They can attach something unto the name that appears godly-like. But if the reference is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we don't attach anything unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing. In fact, there is a famous song that we all sing on Simchat Torah during after the fourth Hakafah. The name of the song is Mipi'el. Mipi'el, Mipi'el, Yivarach Yisrael. Rab Chaim Brisker never sang that song. Because in that same paragraph, in each stanza, who are you praising? HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. Think about it. About the phrase. We are Yisrael. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this, Moshe did this. Says Rabbi, you can't be mishatev anything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't. And that's why he told his students not to recite that particular piyut, despite the fact that it's printed in every single matzah. So halacha, you got to sing the piyut. But, because Rav Chaim used to think about these things. So anyhow, says Bachya, ki hama'ale ha-gidolah ha-morah el-yonot shehu bilti nismach le'acher kidavar nivra. The greatest ma'ala about highlighting a God, if he is a real God, you can't attach anything to him whatsoever. He has to stand as a separate entity. Umipnei zeh nichtav ba'alav dalid kishehu kodesh bekomatz. So if you want to indicate that it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, under those circumstances, you have to use the Kamatz form. The Kamatz form. One second. That's correct. Go to Perek Yutet, Pasuk Bet. Go to Yutet, Pasuk Bet. Yeah, right here in Bereshis. We'll get up to it in a year or so. Yutet Bet. Vayomer, Hinena Adonai. The same people are standing in front of Lot, who are standing here by us in front of Avram. But it doesn't say Adonai there. Because there's no possibility that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to visit Lot. It's just the gentlemen, my masters. And hence, exactly. Therefore, there's no doubt that he's talking to them. And it's to be connected to that which follows. Hine no Adonai, suru da el beit avdechem, please turn to my house and come sleep over for the night. But in our pasuk, Ramban is trying to tell us that I agree with the Midrash that it's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how does he communicate that to us, says Bachya? Because he says it's written with a kamatz and not with a pata. But he wasn't 100% sure. That's why he says, I have to look in other books and see how it was vowelized. I'm not 100% sure. There's nothing compelling one way or the other. But I've seen, apparently reliable books that have this as a kamatz, and therefore, says Bachya, I just explained for you how the Ramban sees that it's Kodesh. That's a grammatical point of view. Yeah. And now continues the Ramban. Kihi on the line two, Vihine Karam Bishem Rabam Ba'alif Dalad. Kihi Kir Bohem Shehem Malache Elyon Ka'ashe Yikru Elohim Ve'elim. What is Ramban saying here? What is he saying? Take the information that Bachya just showed us. It says Adonai because it's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
We know that they're agents of God.
Ah, so now, says the Ramban, I don't have to say the way Rashi said it, that if it's the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is he talking to? No, who did Rashi say, if you believe it's holy, who is Avram talking to? He's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Please don't leave. I have business to attend to. Says the Ramban, I don't have to do that. I can say that the word Adonai refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and yet he's talking to the angels. Because he knows that they are angels. How do you honor the angels? By referring to them as what? By the name of God.
Their master,
but it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You refer to these people who are angels as gods. And there are other times when the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is used when we no doubt are convinced that an angel is talking. The word Elohim appears where we know an angel is talking. All you have to do is look at right. Yes, 100%. Yes, it means judges, but they are the representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no doubt. If you go to, for example, let me just see if it appears there. No.
No, but I can't prove it from there. Okay, but there are, I'll think of a pasuk with that happens to be. So the Ramban on the one hand is willing to subscribe to the fact that it is God, but it doesn't mean that he's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi went the next step. If it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is referring, speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So it's Kodesh.
So it's Kodesh. According to the Ramban, it can also be Kodesh, but he's not talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's talking to the angels, but he calls them as God because they are representatives of the Holy One, blessed be He.
We're not getting tested on this.
What?
We're not getting tested on this. It's a little confusing.
Why is it confusing?
That's the test.
Okay, you don't have to explain why. Okay. Yeah.
Can I add that?
Yes.
Correct.
It's Kabbalah le Moshe Misinai. We have a tradition. That's all.
So it's just passed down.
That's correct.
Variations? The Kri and the Ktiv, I guess, would be the variation.
Right. I don't know who's responsible for the Kri and the Ktiv. I'm not sure about that. If that's also Moshe Misinai, I have to check how the Rambam views it. Yes. Correct.
So here he's saying that really is also can be a reference to the Malachim. And that's sort of like contradictory. One's Malachi Elyon and one are...
Okay, that's an interesting point. But only the context will be able to tell you, am I referring to idolatrous gods or not? Or it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here, right now, thus far, the Ramban hasn't said anything about suspecting that they're worshipping Avodah Zarah. As Rashi will say in a couple of seconds, the next two, three psukim.
Right, I'm just saying the word itself,
it could go, but the context gives it away. Context. So the Ramban I'll take you guys in a second. I want to make one other point. The Ramban adds, Alno sa'avor mi'al avdecha. So who did Rashi think that Avram was speaking to? Who did Rashi say Avram was speaking? Come on, Rabotai. No. Assuming that it's not HaKadosh Baruch. Who is he talking to? Hagadol Shebohem. One of the three. Says the Ramban. I don't know why you're compelled to say that. Says the Ramban. In kol echad yidaber. Abraham spoke to all three of them. Kiderech kol ha-Torah. Just as the Torah formulates every single mitzvah of the Torah. It says, Ushmartem et kol chukutai va'asitem otam. And then it says, Ervat Avicha, not Ervat Avichem. The Torah, when it's speaking to the multitude, uses what type of a language to commit the singular? So, Alma Ta'avar Me'al Abdecha says to Ramban, he spoke to all three of them. And you're going to harp on the fact why it says B'lashon Yachid? That is the style of the Torah to do so. That's how the Torah communicates any type of commandment in the singular term. It's talking to everybody. 99% of the mitzvot of kabed et avicha, not avichem. You know, everything is like that. Doesn't say lo tignovu. It says lo tignov. It says, you know, doesn't say zichru et yom ha-shabbat l'kadsho. Zachor et yom ha-shabbat. Says the Rambam, he's talking to all of them. It's not that you have to recognize, he figured out who's the top, because there's a Gemara that says, when a Rebbe is walking, the Ramban, as you well know, doesn't want to rely on such midrashim, and therefore he explains it quite simply. And he quotes at the end, if you look at the last line, he quotes the Medrash, Rabbo Seinu Amru L'Gadol Shemayim. But that's not the pshat.
That's not the pshat.
But it bounces back and forth, like the next psukim are in the plural.
Yes.
So that would make you wonder.
That is a very good question. It's a very good question. Why go back and forth? I don't have a good answer to that. All in the plural. I don't know. I don't have a good answer
to
that.
It makes a good case that he was talking to God.
Correct. In which case, this case, that might have been the part of the Medrash's thinking. Since I see later in the plural tense, in this pasuk it's the singular, he's only talking to one person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That makes sense. That's a very good point. That's a very good one. That's our challenge, to find textual support for midrashic statements. That's a challenge of ours, always. All right, we shall stop here. There will not be a share next week. I'm going to see my granddaughter for a couple of days.